Hi-Fi Dream, you're listening to The Deep Dive. We're coming out of a group called the Belinda Butchers. Do It Right is the song. If that sounds familiar, they're from San Francisco, and they kind of emerged in the early 2000s and were like becoming something. But I think they got written off, and it happened to be like right before the shoegaze boom, the new gaze boom. And when they kind of came back together, they recorded this album that sounded nothing like shoegaze. But anyway, Versus GT were before that. That was your pick, Will. It's called Your Light. Came out earlier in 2025. Tell me what you think about the Belinda Butchers.
I didn't remember that you'd chose them before, and that's all the way back in show 25.
And it's over a year ago.
I really like this song, and it's an interesting mix of, to me, I hear like R&B, trip hop, psychedelic vibe. Not shoegaze at all, but at the same time, I can picture this, them playing this like in some modern jazz lounge with like wash of purple or blue lights. It would fit perfectly. It's so chill. I listened a little bit more of them actually this morning, and I feel like they have a really diverse kind of breadth of style.
Yeah.
And so I looked up that music map. It's like this website where you can put in a band and it shows all the other bands that sound like it. I couldn't recognize a single one of the bands that related to them. Yeah, if you click on the link, I don't recognize any of those bands. So what it means to me is it's kind of exciting in that if I like this band, which I do, I want to listen to more of their music, that there's this whole like set of artists out there who sound like this or that try. But maybe it's because they're so diverse in what they produce that they're these esoteric bands that I don't know. But I don't claim to know a lot of music. Anyways, what I think is interesting is they have like a concept album about some historic Japanese, like a moment or cultural moment in Japan. And you told me that they moved to Japan during COVID. And so there's definitely some Japanophile-ism with this band, which I can relate to a lot because I kind of consider myself a Japanophile. I really like
right.
Japanese culture. I worked for a Japanese company briefly and ended up traveling to Japan for 3 weeks and just immersing myself in that, the culture.
Yeah, it's such a fascinating culture. I agree. And the art and the creativity, it's so different. But that's what they, you nailed it though. They combine an East meets West kind of aesthetic to their sound, their artwork, their videos, their imagery. They bring a lot, even in the videos of a lot of their songs, there you'll see a lot of Asian influence in it. So, but their sound is so diverse. It's dream pop, it's shoegaze, it's electronic, it's drum and bass at times on the newest album, you know?
That's
it goes
cool.
From that song you just heard, which is like kind of like a down tempo trip hop, dream pop. And the next song is like jungle. And it's similar melodies and stuff with these like kind of really fast sped up jungle beats. So very, very diverse sounding artists. But again, a San Fran group, SF group. I know people from San Francisco don't like when people say San Fran. They are SF group. So,
or Frisco. You can't say Frisco.
Yeah, that one even I get. But but anyway, they are somebody we should give props to because out of the scene here, that album came out right at the beginning of COVID. And for many nights when it was like kind of uncertain and it wasn't as fun because you weren't sure what was going on, that album
right.
comforted me, so I thought it'd be nice to drop it in there.
Cool.
We go to your next choice. Fresh new hour, fresh new set of songs. This one was kind of fun.
Kind of fun, kind of easy. You know, being show 99, it was pretty obvious. Had to pick.
Didn't even realize that until now.
Really?
Seriously.
So I was going to go with 99 Love Balloons by Nina because that's a cool song, but... I knew about this cover from Kaleida, Kaleida, whom I've chosen a couple times before. I really like this duo, and they kind of, I think one of them's German, and it's obvious because she's singing this cover of 99 Love Balloons in German, and I don't know if people listening remember the German version of the Nina song from the 80s or the English version?
Well, in New York, they played the English version, but we all kind of heard the other version. I think throughout the years, you heard the Left Balloons version and the Red Balloon version. But for me, I remember the red first.
that's funny because I always heard the German version. My sister had it on 45, and she had this tiny little Barbie record player, you know, that sounded terrible. But she wore that 45 out, and it was English on one side, German on the other. And
yeah,
she would always play the German version. I had no idea what it was about, but it sounded like a really fun, like, dance song, you know.
German language doesn't ever sound fun to me. It's a very complex language for me to understand, but it also is like it's very harsh sounding at times. It's not like romantic at all.
Not at all, right? That's where this version really kind of flips things around. I think it makes it dark. It's slowed down a lot, and it's kind of like you can savor the German lyrics because it doesn't do that fast, like frenetic part as the Nina version does, which is great. But I think this version makes you think a little differently. And I didn't really think about the lyrics so much back then. And I just talking about it with Alicia this morning, and she's kind of filled me in like, yeah, that's about the Cold War and the fear of, you know, a red balloon like floating up in the sky that a girl let go by accident, that, you know, these armies think that that's UFOs or an attack. And so they launch an attack, and then there's a retaliation, and it starts this whole war that kind of blows everyone away. Or at least that's the fear that people like you and I of this age kind of had to live with during the Cold War, of this veil of, we could be gone in any moment, right? So it's a very interesting bookmark, I think, to that song. And this kind of brings us back to that. It's from a movie soundtrack called Atomic Blonde, which I haven't seen.
Me neither.
But it must be a very dark, ominous moment, because this song has that vibe.
It is. I for some reason, I feel like I may have heard this song in a movie trailer or something. Maybe it was that movie. To go back to the Nina thing, there's another 6 degrees of separation story with her for me, because Frank, the drummer for a brief time, was a drummer of Minus Chris towards the end, a collaborator with ours, who I'd mentioned went on to play with Guns N' Roses only last year, I think, got let go from the band. But he was a Guns N' Roses, Love Spit Love, Psychedelic Furs, Nine Inch Nails, Tool. He played drums with all those guys, but most recently Guns N' Roses for like 12 years or so. Anyway, he became Nina's sort of drummer / like musical director for a couple of years, went out on tour with her specifically to when she was doing like sort of a, I don't want to say a reunion tour, but sort of like a, I guess there was a resurgence in her and the song. And she went out on tour for a while and like had a lot of interest because people love that song. And he got to play all over the world and didn't realize how massive that song was on the other side of the pond. You know, here it was big, but over there it's like, you know, she's an icon because she put this like sort of very, very meaningful piece of music out at the time when the Berlin Wall was about to come down and all this stuff. So very, very legitimate cover of what I think is a very important 80s pop song, especially because, again, like other than After the Der Kommissar, by After the Fire, like there are very few of these non-English speaking songs that made it to the charts in America. And these did. So it's pretty impressive to me. This is a top-notch cover, almost as good as the Don't Fear the Reaper cover you brought to the show back. That was one of the best covers I've ever heard. This one's right up there. So it's going to follow with one of my favorite bands from the early 2000s, one of the last great like organic kind of rock and roll-ish bands. Grizzly Bear is going to follow your choice. You ready to do it?
All right.
All right. The Hi-Fi Dream Deep Dive continues.
Hast du etwas Zeit für mich? Singe ich ein Lied für dich von 99 Luftballons auf ihrem Weg zum Horizont. Denkst du vielleicht grad an mich? Dann singe ich ein Lied für dich von 99 Luftballons, dass sowas von sowas kommt. Musik. sich Luftballons auf ihrem Weg zum Horizont, hielt man für Ufos aus dem All. Darum schickte ein General und Fliegerstaffel hinterher, Alarm zu geben, wenn so wer dabei wandert am Horizont. Nur 99 Luftballons.
This is The Deep Dive with Greg and Willis.
You
goodness. Hi-Fi Dream Deep Dive. That was Grizzly Bear called Three Rings. It came out in 2017, and it's just epic, masterpiece, grandiose, whatever words I could attach to that. Majestic. So much in about 4.5 minutes. Before that, Willis's Choice, 99 Love Balloons by Kaleida, which also like kind of really brought that Grizzly Bear song because of so cinematic, if you will. I want to tell you a little bit about my Grizzly Bear thing, but I want to hear your thoughts on it because you seem really into it. So I'm curious.
I did. I just favorited this band. I've never heard of them before.
Oh, wow. I can't believe we haven't played them yet.
No. And it's kind of like you say, they're majestic. This is a very majestic and trippy, but it's very accessible too. Like you can follow along with this song. You just can't like place it. Like you use the word non-committal, which is perfect because it keeps changing and it evolves, and it makes it kind of epic that way, in that there's like the pace and the style changes, but you hear this like the rhythms change, the instrumentation change. It feels like experimental, but it's all tied together, like the dreamy vocals. And then there's this recurring like arpeggio scale, doon 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 doon.
Yeah.
But it's played like different ways here and there, and it comes in and out. And it's just very epic that way. But what I really notice is it's got that LFO, the low frequency oscillations, that you hear in the very beginning, which reminds me a lot of Such Great Heights from the Postal Service, and the way it like builds in your soul, you know, and it builds up, and then it kind of gives it away to this song that keeps morphing, and it's just really cool. I like
almost like
unique...
a sound bath would do.
Yeah, okay.
You know, when you get the sound bath, it actually the different tones resonate on a vibration level with your body. I feel like that's what that LFO does.
Where do you get a sound bath? Where was this?
You never went to a sound bath?
No.
It's like you go lay down and they play the gong. You know, they hit the gong or the different levels, and you just lay there. It's like yoga. It's a form of meditation. You never did that?
Oh, I need to find this out.
Oh my god, I can't believe you never did this. Oh
no.
Anyway, so never mind then. Oh, we'll get back to that.
I mean, we do. I've done the float where you float with a sensory deprivation. I've done.
Oh, that sounds. I've not fun.
That's fun in itself.
Gong bath
but a sound
or something.
Bath
I think they call it gong,
great.
A gong sound bath. Yeah, they hit it different spots.
Bath.
Oh, it's the best, dude. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, anyway, I was impressed by Grizzly Bear, and I'm going to listen to more of them. But yeah, I think you have to be in a right headspace for them.
Yeah, it's weird because they're an indie group. They came out in the 2000s, and they're from New York. So there was a lot of buzz around them where I was. We actually... one of the last bands that's still going, really, or they did break up several years back, went on hiatus, but they're touring this year. Nothing new music. They're just touring after like 7 years. But the thing about them is they're like the last of that kind of type of band. There hasn't been anything that's broken since them that sound like them. And I always think it's kind of like they took elements of Pink Floyd, they took elements of Radiohead, they took elements of Flaming Lips.
Yeah,
Mercury,
yes,
Red. But like, there's times where they're really minimal and soft, and especially on their earlier records, but they got way more they played on a larger, more grandiose scale as the albums went on, and they bring in a lot of classic rock elements with like modern elements. I love that about them. But they I think they felt like they were kind of stuck in this one area musically. They couldn't get out of it, and they just kind of called it a day. But
I see.
They're so underrated, dude. They are popular, and they're still, you know, they're selling tickets when they weren't doing this tour. But to me, they should have been bigger, like Radiohead stratosphere. But unfortunately, wasn't meant to be, I guess.
Really good drummer too. You can feel that the drumming is forward on this song, and
almost
jazz,
I
mean, skill
influence, right? Like the Doors or something.
Even more so, yeah. Just really like in control.
I think sometimes the music itself in that song, especially 4.5 minutes, when I say it's not committing to any style, it's like 1 minute it's shuffling, next minute it's kind of soft and like hushed,
right,
with all these background sounds and like auras floating around. And then it goes this like epic burst at the end where the drums are going off and the vocals are falsetto above it. It is a gorgeous song. It really is. So that's a perfect setup for what is going to be an explosion here at the end of the show of two songs. Actually, more of a come down explosion, if that makes sense. A perfect way to end a show, our first show in December. You picked Galaxy 500. Actually, I believe they're, aren't they local too? Aren't they a San Francisco group?
Geez, I'm not sure. I know very little about them.
Okay.
Except that when I was DJing in college in the late 80s, early 90s, they were on many of my other cohorts. I guess at the station, you know, you could look at the song lists of types of bands that certain show DJs would play on their shows, and always in the evenings, you would see like they would list, "Oh, I'll play Galaxy 500." And I thought, what is this band that you can only listen to at night? But I never could find their music in the store, or I never felt like committing to buying something that I didn't really get to hear. So I never actually heard them. And I think even doing this show, I thought, oh, okay, that they're kind of the godfathers of shoegaze or dream pop, maybe. That's what I learned. And I try to listen to them. And there's a different sound that they have that's very lo-fi that makes you sound, it's like the raw indie sound where it's fuzzy but far away. That's what the sound they have. And I could never find a place to put them in our shows, but I figured now's the time. Like I wanna feature them because they have been an influential band to many of the dream pop, indie rock music that we play today from newer artists.
I think they're bigger now because of the legacy than they were at the time. Well, I was wrong about that. I thought San Francisco. It's not. I confused them with another band that's very similar, but they're from Massachusetts, which makes sense because they came around the same time as the Pixies, Dinosaur Jr., Guided by Voices, this very indie lo-fi sound. This is pre-shoegaze. Shoegaze wasn't really a term or even a genre until after. It was like when it was happening and then after is when it became. Yeah. It was almost like these guys are looking at their shoes. They're shoegazers. You know, they're not even, there's no entertainment. Right. They're just hiding behind their guitars and pedals and such. So it wasn't necessarily a compliment to be called shoegaze. So I don't think these guys would have, they were way ahead of the shoegaze and they also weren't playing behind. Like My Bloody Valentine came out around the same time and they were playing behind walls of distortion and pedals. Yeah. These guys were using layers and layers and layers of guitars that were like kind of clean with chorus and reverb. So it wasn't as noisy as, but there was a lot of things happening, a lot of guitars happening. But this song, dude, this is like one of the, to me, would be on the master CD or master tape of what became shoegaze.
What I like about it, so I chose Tugboat, and it's from 1988. And what I like about it is the sound. The sound really, even though it's probably, I don't know how representative this is of their catalog.
Pretty representative.
I understand they didn't really make that much music.
I think it was two albums. I have one of them here, so I know, but I don't know.
Short-lived, but like the candle that burns bright, right? Half as, so. But the recording style of this really brings me back like to the sound of being in college and feeling like anything is possible. You know, you're learning all this stuff. You're still young. You're intelligent. You're pushing yourself to your limits, like studying for things that people don't even care about and wondering where it's all going to go. And you're like on this precipice of infinite possibility. Like I could go anywhere from here. That's how you feel when you're in college.
Or you suppose you hope you feel that way. Some people feel stifled by that, but
some people, but the way I felt was like, man, what's my life going to be like here? I'm getting a really good launching point into the world. And I feel lucky, but also scared, but also excited. And it wasn't even graduation. It was just like, here I am at this place where people get to be the best, like the most they can be as far as being young, but getting kind of pushed out the door, right? Like you can't hide behind school after this. you have to go, you have to do something with your life. anyways, just a feeling of nostalgia I get from this sound that Galaxy 500 has captured. It's bottled all up and just pushing it through me right now. And I think it fits on a Sunday afternoon or Sunday morning.
Well, it's coming aptly. We are coming out of Thanksgiving and giving season. And I feel like this next set is giving thanks, as the kids might say. It's giving thanks for me and you, and you and I, rather, and where music kind of went. I think of sometimes with this show, I'm tapping into so many songs that I want to play. Sometimes I'll repeat an artist before I get to play an artist. But when I think of the artist that kind of shaped music as it is today and the breadth of music that's out there right now, so many different genres. If you're a fan of like what is indie rock now, shoegaze, all these songs, we all owe a debt of gratitude to the bands of the late 80s, Fugazi, Sonic Youth, The Pixies, Dinosaur Jr., Galaxy 500, and then a little bit later, I'm about to play the band to follow Galaxy 500, is Sunny Day Real Estate. When you think of like bands in the 90s that came along after these groups, it further shaped what became indie rock. And Sunny Day Real Estate was part of that that progression of artists that were known as college rock back in the 80s, because nobody right. would play them except for college radio stations. Then it became like modern rock. Then it became alternative and grunge and all that. They wouldn't exist if not for the bands we're about to play in this next set. Sunny Day Real Estate is my choice to close out the show. A very important band to me, and I want to hear your thoughts on it. This is definitely mid-later period Sunny Day as far as their albums released. And it was a masterpiece album it came from. But I took a lot from him as a vocalist. Jeremy and Nick in okay. Sunny Day Real Estate does this thing where he'll take a word and he'll hold it and bend it almost so like yes. one word can be over like where maybe six or seven words would fit. Like it'd be okay. like, he'll hold a note and bend it in ways to make it sound like other words. I stole that from him when I was writing lyrics, because I didn't want to have to like change the melody because of the lyrics. So I would bend words. He's a master at it. And I owe all these groups such thanks. So that's the way we're going to go out, is giving thanks. What did you think of Sunny Day?
I could hear his vocal skill, actually. Actually quite interesting. What I heard was he could start kind of like dry, loose and breathy, and low. But or mid, he kind of has a mid to high voice. So he starts mid, but then he can switch to like this kind of wet, compressed, like really more compressed like sounds from his voice.
Yeah,
and then
using his diaphragm, like, right.
Right, and then he like tightens up even more into this, I wouldn't even call it falsetto, because it sounds so naturally high. It doesn't sound like he's trying to do a falsetto, but his voice just goes like tighter and tighter. And that's some skill. And he'll do that, like you say, like on one note. And he'll bend it up, you know, from loose to wet to hot to tight. And that's definitely some skill. I really appreciate that. And
the notes, the way he's going from a high note and then dropping it in the middle of like a long held breath. Towards the end, he kind of bends it down to another note completely. Like, it doesn't seem humanly possible. He trained his voice to do this. And I think that's partially cool. Why I picked up on it and was able to sort of mimic it in my own way. And when I hear their music, I'm always like, man, I steal a lot from them as far as technique is concerned. But there's a natural reverb. He doesn't have anything on his voice, but you'll hear like a natural effect on his voice from the texture of it. Like almost like it's hoarse or scratchy in a texture, right? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I call it the compression, but it's like when a rock singer tries to, when they can shout, but they're not really shouting, they're compressing like their vibrations like tighter and tighter. Yeah. So it kind of sounds like much louder. That's what I hear.
It's tough. And it's tough to do when you're singing live. But if you do it right, it's powerful. But this is kind of a ballad, by the way. This isn't like, they have punkier, kind of more aggressive music, especially early in their first two albums. But this is like a dreamy song.
It's kind of an interesting choice, actually, because I'd never heard of this band until this week. Before you chose it,
really?
I've never heard of them. 1998. I was listening to techno and grunge and like maybe some local Bay Area punk and indie music. That's what I was into. So I missed up on this. You call it like proper emo genre.
Well, it's emo before. I hate calling things emo because people think of like. Whatever, Panic at the Disco,
MGMT,
or not MGMT, emo, like with Fallout Boy and those types of groups. Okay. Like, and there was
horrible
music. I missed
out on
music.
All that.
Yeah, horrible.
Yeah, I miss these bands.
You were lucky to miss that one.
So I only heard of this name though the other day. This week I was researching some other band, and they said their influence. They sound a lot like Sunny Day Real Estate, and I was thinking like, is it the band Real Estate on a Good Day? Is that what that means? And so I just discounted it. And then I saw you added this song. And I was like, oh, okay, they're a real band. And I'm pleasantly surprised. I think it's pretty good skill and a genre that I probably wouldn't have found on my own.
I listened to this after I chose the song, and I was listening to it when I was putting the list together. I went and pulled the record out and just listened to the whole thing. And it even more amplified my feelings of the album and this song. But the lyrics, we have a minute or two. That's why I'm not rushing to play the songs. But every shining time you arrive is a great name for a song, by the way.
Totally.
I feel like when I think of a love song or something and I'm thinking of somebody amazing, every shining time you arrive really does sound like a proper title of a book or a movie or a song. But there's so many lines in this song that kind of speak to the motion. It's not necessarily this is like the most brilliant songwriting lyric wise of all time, but there's a way in which he delivers it in this very sparse way, in this very like non-linear way he presents lyrics. It's not like Leonard Cohen or Bob Dylan. It's more like this fragments of this very, very smart kind of right approach to songwriting. I'm very curious what you think of the lyrics of the song. Did you listen to them at all when you sampled this?
No, not as much, but I think you quoted them, so I kind of looked along as I wrote.
But so the last line
of
the song that really hit, not the last line, but the last line that really hits me is, so you'll always have your time to shine, even in the winter of your darkest hour. But how he'll hold that hour part and bend it over into the chorus as the song changes behind him is just is the brilliance of Jeremy and Nick and this band. So I'm really excited to end a show like this with two legendary influential artists for all of music. And I want to thank you for all the hard work you put into it. And what like I said, my favorite playlist of yours so far. So
this has been highly educational. Thank you.
Great job this week, brother. I'm looking forward to our special 100th show next week. Many more centennial shows to come for us, God willing.
Yes.
And any last thoughts before we play the songs?
No, it's been great. And this is our last double digit show, I guess. That's interesting. And,
sadly.
But I think it just means that, you know, we're going, we're not stopping. We are a machine.
100 shows in, brother. So our ending note of show 99, Galaxy 500, Tugboat, Willis's Choice, then Sunny Day Real Estate, Every Shining Time You Arrive, to close us out. And we'll see you back here next week for show 100 on The Deep Dive. I don't
Hi-Fi Dreams Deep Dive.
Training.